We hear again our Lord's word from the account of Ruth. So Naomi set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." In the name of Jesus. Put yourself for a moment in the shoes of Ruth. The reason to put yourself in Ruth's shoes is to see what the Lord is doing toward Ruth. And the reason to see what the Lord is doing toward Ruth is to see what he's doing toward you. Because he's doing the same thing toward you that he was doing toward Ruth. Our details in our own world, of course, are different. Ruth lived in what's now called the Mideast. You live in New Mexico, which Ruth didn't even know about. Ruth wore sandals. You wore, I don't know, Nike or Adidas, something like that. And Ruth knew nothing of the Kardashians. But Ruth did live in the same world as you and me. The sin, the dishonesty, the politicians, always increasing power, the sickness, the death, Ruth knew that as well as we do. And Ruth's problem was not that she didn't have internet access or government health care or anything like that. Ruth's problem was sin. The sin around her, her own sin, and what to do then about getting herself cleansed of sin so she could live before God with a good conscience. So Ruth, she's like us. So let's look at what our Lord did toward Ruth. She grew up in Moab. As a Moabitess, she worshipped the Moabite god, Chemosh. At the altar of Chemosh, the worshippers did abominable practices, including vile acts of sex, and even including human sacrifice, even babies. Why would have Ruth and her family, through those generations, have gone to the altar of Chemosh? That's the god who ruled over the Moabites. At least that's what the prophets and the priests of Moab taught them. Not just Chemosh, but the other gods and goddesses along with him. And these gods and goddesses were the ones who supplied the Moabites with rain and water and good crops and good animals and children, and who defended them from sickness and from invading armies. At least that's what the Moabite family was taught at the altar of Chemosh. So the comfort Ruth and her family had with Chemosh and the other gods and goddesses of Moab was the comfort that they could wrestle from the gods by buying them off with sacrifices. But then we can think about what Ruth and her family did not get from the altar of Chemosh. At the altar of Chemosh, as they sacrificed, they heard about bloodshed and power. We know this. Archaeologists have even dug up some of the liturgies, some of the hymns and psalms of the altar of Chemosh. So they heard about bloodshed and power, about conquering and victory, about riches and thrones, about adulteries and stealing people for slaves. But they heard nothing, not one word, to forgive sins. Not one word spoken to justify the sinner. Not one word to cleanse the conscience. Ruth heard nothing to reconcile her to God and to her neighbor. She heard no word taking away her guilt, no word covering her shame. At the altar of Chemosh, as she grew up, even as a little girl, Ruth heard no word of grace that would stand her in honor at the face of the living God. No word giving the promise of the resurrection of the body in life everlasting. She heard only of gods and goddesses who demanded her to sacrifice so she could live another day and hopefully her family would have good crops and not starve. Then the Lord, the true God, the God who created all things and by whom all things exist and are held together, the God who speaks a promise to the sinner to redeem the sinner and to claim the sinner as his own. Then the Lord spoke a different word to Ruth. How? You would never have known it just by looking at the events in Ruth's life. But the Lord spoke a word to her different than any other word heard in this world. In Moab, Ruth was taken as a bride by Mahlon. Mahlon was not a Moabite, did not worship Chemosh. Mahlon and his brother Chilion and their parents, Naomi and Elimelech, were Israelites who were now living in the foreign land of Moab. So Ruth's husband Mahlon, as an Israelite, had been circumcised into the covenant the Lord gave Abraham, the covenant of the forgiveness of sins, the justification of the sinner, the covenant of the promise of the Redeemer who would be born in Abraham's lineage to save all sinners, the covenant of grace and of the promise of the resurrection of the body. Mahlon belonged to that Lord. And now, so did Ruth. Can we see the Lord's hand in this? See how the Lord was there working in this world of sin to freely hand out his gifts to this young Moabite woman who had been lost in the darkness of the false god Chemosh and of sacrifices and works righteousness, which could never cleanse an unclean conscience anyway. Then Elimelech, Ruth's father-in-law, as the text says, died. And Mahlon, Ruth's husband, died. And Chilion, Ruth's brother-in-law, died. We're left with three widows: Naomi, the mother-in-law, Orpah, Ruth's sister-in-law, and Ruth. Naomi, now an old woman with no husband, packs up to return to Israel, and Naomi tells Ruth and Orpah to return to their families, that there would be more, they would be more comfortable for them to go and do that than to follow her to the foreign land of Israel. Ruth won't stay in Moab. To stay in Moab is to return to the Chemosh altar. To stay in Moab is to deal with your sins yourself. It is to hear no word of grace, no word of mercy from the God of Israel who justifies the sinner. To stay in Moab, Ruth knows, is death. So Ruth will not let Naomi leave her behind. She is an Israelite. She married an Israelite, Mahlon. She heard the promise given to Abraham. It was given to her. And when Mahlon died, Ruth still belongs to the promise. So back in Israel, Ruth is again taken as wife, this time by an Israelite named Boaz. That comes up later in the book of Ruth than what we had this morning. Can we yet see the Lord's hand in all of this? So now let's take a big jump forward. A big jump, about 1,000 years. The Apostle Matthew is writing about the birth of the baby Jesus and of the lineage that gave us Jesus. Matthew 1:5. Abraham, Matthew writes, was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron and Hezron, the father of Ram. At about this point, are you starting to say, as we all do when we read this, this is a little boring? But there's a reason. Just listen. And Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, Nahshon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. In other words, for our Lord to come into the flesh, to be the Lamb of God, bearing the sin of the world, he comes in the flesh as the Son, as being in the lineage of David. For the promise was that the Messiah, the Savior, would come in David's line. And for our Lord to come in the flesh as the Son of David, he does it by this Moabite woman. He brought her in, Ruth. He brought her into Israel so that from Ruth would come a grandson named David, and from David's lineage, we would be given our Lord. Did Ruth know any of this? What Ruth knew is that there was a Lord in Israel who called her into his people to hear the gospel of all sin forgiven. A Lord who called her his own. And in that, she had a Lord who took her up into his service, so that we may all give thanks that Ruth, called out of false worship, called out of works righteousness, Ruth is our sister. And not only our sister, but a woman most honored to be a grandmother, several generations removed, to our Lord Jesus. Can we see our Lord working in this? For he works toward us too. He redeems us from sin, death, and the devil, and makes us his own, taking us along with Ruth up into his service. We are brothers and sisters to Ruth. We are of her family, for we are brothers and sisters to all the Israelites at the time of Ruth, and to all our fellow members in the church, the new Israel. We are brothers and sisters to all who are cleansed by the blood of Ruth's greater son, Jesus. We're brothers and sisters to all who hear the gospel of all sins forgiven. All sins forgiven, for Jesus took them upon himself and bore them to the cross. All sins forgiven, for that was the promise given to Abraham, later to Ruth, later to David, and also to us. All sins forgiven to Ruth, to David, to you, to me, to our families, for Jesus atoned for all in his blood of the cross. And he is our Redeemer from all sin, all guilt, all shame. Our Redeemer, giving us a clean conscience and taking us also up into his use. In the name of Jesus, amen.